Good morning. Today is Bosses Day, Tuesday, October the 16th. Joining us this morning from College of the Redwoods, Marty Quello. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
So did you remember Bosses Day for your boss?
Well, I better.
That implies that you're on your way in.
Correct.
Okay. So you got a little bit of lead time. Why do they say that today also involves the color blue? Blue laws. How did strict puritanical laws come to be called blue laws?
I don't know. That's a good question, actually.
The first such laws, purported to have been devised by the New Haven colonists, got the name blue from the adoption of blue as the color of the strict Presbyterians of the True Blue pro-Parliament party in England.
Oh, I'll be dang.
So there we go. Now we all know blue laws.
No, I was raised Presbyterian and never heard anything about blue.
No, more focused on green if you're anything like Catholics. If you can't beg on your own, right?
No.
So how did the walk go last weekend?
Oh, unreal. We had over 500 people participate in the Humboldt County Walked Into Alzheimer's. And I think so far they've raised $92,000 and money is still flowing in, and just had a very overwhelmingly positive response from the community. So it was
cool.
Heartwarming.
And it wasn't as warm as it was Saturday.
Well, it's
so you didn't have to worry about resuscitating anybody.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
And it was still beautiful, though. Thank goodness for our weather in October.
Absolutely. It's showtime. Oh, gee. So this time of the year is, I would imagine, kind of a challenging time for you guys. Because if we look at the high schools, kids are making their decisions and they got their SAT test dates and their ACT test dates coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yes, we're about to begin our enrollment campaign here in a few weeks and remind folks that there's still free tuition for spring. And if you are a first-time college student, if you are a California resident, if you're willing to take 12 or more units per semester, then your tuition is free.
How long does it take to establish residency?
Oh, that's a very good question, Brent. I don't know.
I know in Oregon, it's like 3 years. So if you're going to school like U of O or OSU,
right?
It takes that long.
It takes a while, I know.
Yeah, and when you're out of state, you get hit pretty good.
Yes, it definitely is less expensive to stay within your own state and go to school.
Is there still that border agreement with the border counties?
Yes.
Between the two states?
Some of the institutions up north, yes, there is. And so they get we get a bit of a discounted rate up there, and they get a bit of a discounted rate coming down here. And so I know there's a lot of families that try to take advantage of that program as well.
The CR campus, does it also qualify for the free tuition or the free registration?
Yes. Any of our campuses within the district qualify for free tuition. And in fact, we had over 100 students qualify this semester for the program. But what happens a lot of times is they'll come in for the free tuition, and actually, because of their household income, they already qualify for free tuition through the state. So the vast majority of students that go to College of the Redwoods end up not paying tuition, and so, you know, which is fantastic. I mean, our goal is to get students in and out with this lowest amount of debt possible, and contributing members of our society. So there's a lot to be said for that. I think it for families that are having students that are about to go down the college path, you really need to start looking for these transfer degrees that are offered through community colleges. We offer 18 different degrees that are transferable into the California State University system, and your student goes to CR for 2 years, and then they transfer into one of the CSUs as a junior, and they get all of that credit. And they did their first 2 years at College of the Redwoods very inexpensively before moving on into the CSUs. I know when our oldest son went off, we were It was a little bit of a shell shock. I thought I knew what we were walking into, but wow.
What about for the vocational schools, Marty? I know Redwoods has got some of those programs. We've had Prue out here a couple of times.
Right.
And last week we had Eureka City Schools, or Office of Ed, pardon me. And talking about career rather than going on to a four-year, is there something equivalent, or is this a little too sophisticated at this point? For somebody, let's say if I went through the carpenter program. Do we still have the carpenter program at Redwoods?
We do have construction programs, yes.
And then I want to go on to a finishing school of sorts. Do those transfer also? Do those vocational programs take the place of the automotive guys in Phoenix? Some of the fancier four-year programs, do they transfer as well as the academic route?
You know, I don't know off the top of my head. We're offering various certificates, so somebody can come out for a semester or two and get certificates that are going to raise your income and open up different job possibilities for you. And then there's also two-year degrees, associate degrees, within the various career education programs. And so I think it's going to vary by program as to where you could go for even more advanced training. What people are quickly realizing is you can come out with an AA in a career education area, such as manufacturing, and end up making more money faster than somebody who gets a four-year degree. Unfortunately, we as a society have just convinced everyone that you need to get your four-year degree. And that's a great thing to do, but unfortunately, we're running out of people in the trades.
Right. And the beat goes on, huh? And on and on and
yes.
on. It just is.
It's all a cycle, right?
Yeah, yeah. It is an interesting little dynamic there. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Marty Quello. Marty, I guess for clarification a little bit with the vocational or the career ed classes. Sorry, I still go old-fashioned. like with the police academy. Okay, you've got a program that's there, and some of them go straight into law enforcement. Others are working through that. The graduates from there, do they have to necessarily end with a job as being a cop in 6 months or however long the program is, or can they take that and then transfer that and get a four-year degree in criminal justice so they don't have to do that later on?
No, they exactly can pursue that path as well. So four of our programs within career education have these transfer opportunities to go on into four-year programs. And so it's definitely something that parents and students need to look at. If you can walk out of school and have half the amount of debt, why would you turn that opportunity away?
Yeah, it's interesting as there's more and more discussion around this, that everything doesn't have to be a 4 or a 6 year degree.
Right.
And where the hesitation comes from, I think a lot of the kids, well, you guys see it when the kids come on campus and stuff, or they have the class or the college nights in the classrooms or in the gyms. Kids get all fired up because they see money tomorrow, so to speak, or in the next. But it's mom and dad.
Yes.
And bragging rights.
Yes, it is bragging rights.
Is the sticking point in many situations. And it's intriguing for me. I get it. I understand it. But it just is a different
Well, it's this weird thing we've done in our culture that somehow if you're less bright, that's when you end up in the trades. And I have to just – we have to
You don't want a stupid plumber or a stupid electrician working on your house.
Building your house, I've heard people say to me, well, you know, if you're not good at math, go into the trades. And I'm like, oh, so you want the folks that aren't good at math building your house.
Yeah, how about that sucker to stand?
No, seriously, some of the brightest people I ever met were the people in the trades. And these are the type of individuals that we'd have to recruit into our programs. And so it really is a cultural thing. And it
do you have a tough time getting faculty for these programs?
Oftentimes, because they can make 2 to 3 times as much out in the private sector, yes.
Can you an internship or something, apprenticeship? I know there's specific vernacular, but something akin to that where it's on the job. You know, we used to call it independent study in high school, where I would go to work for Marty and you would fill out whatever the form was. But now I'm learning skill sets.
Right.
On site, real application. And at the end of the program, okay, now I'm a little bit further along.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's why our construction program is so popular, because you get to go out and actually build the house. And the students that are learning how to build the cabinets are coming out and putting the cabinets in our house. And the people that are learning the solar technology in those classes are coming out and installing all the heating system. So they're walking out with actual live experience and doing the job, right, which is incredibly valuable.
So there are some transferabilities if – folks do want to go on to a 4-year.
Yes.
With some of the programs. Do you,
exactly.
Off the top of your head, do you recall what they, other than criminal justice?
Not at the moment, because I didn't have enough coffee this
morning. Well,
that's
all right. Okay. Well, you know, jack yourself up, you know.
Next time. Yeah. Something for next time.
Okay, here we go. Are there any changes this year from the state for those that are looking to enroll into CR?
We have the funding to continue free tuition into the spring. We're looking at doing it for the following year ourselves and seeing if we can build that into our budget.
So that was just a one-timer from the state?
It was a one-timer from the state. So
now that he's not running for re-election,
it depends on the new governor and what their agenda is and what their pet projects are. And so that's why our, you know, CR is going to be looking at seeing, can we continue that type of program? I mean, I think that the CR Foundation looks at as many different ways as possible of trying to support our students. And so we offer over 100 different scholarships and give away $150,000+ a year to also help students get in and out of college with the lowest amount of expenses possible. And so, in fact, we're looking now at our newest scholarship, which is the Redwoods Room and Board Scholarship. We have... I don't think most folks in the community realize that over 50% of students in the community college system in California face housing and food insecurity.
I mean, that's kind of a granola and avocado phrase. What does insecurity mean for this definition?
Which means they don't have a home. Now, for those...
Now, I understand.
Yeah,
that's pretty clear.
It's,
yeah.
It's pretty extreme. For the lucky ones, they have a sofa to sleep on, but... for a large percentage of them, they're living in their car. We've got a group of students that live in the forest, camp in the forest behind the school, and move regularly for safety reasons.
So this isn't somebody camping out with a buddy's – or camping out, wrong word – using a spare bedroom in a buddy's folks. You know, let's say you got two kids, one's off to college.
This is much more tenuous than that.
Okay.
Exactly. And then they're not getting enough to eat, and it's pretty grim to see how many of our students are hungry at this point. We put in a food pantry at the Eureka campus last year, and already this year it's doubled in usage. We have over 100 students a week coming through and getting additional food because they can't afford it.
I'm sure there's the economic qualifiers.
Exactly.
So it's not somebody walking by and instead of wanting to buy a hamburger.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. They have to fill out forms, et cetera. So we're putting in food pantries up in Crescent City and in Hoopa. And it is a need that we can't address, however. And I think that's what's whether it's a grim situation, but we have a solution at play now where we can at least help some of our students.
Is that something that has always been the case, Marty, and we're just recognizing it now? What you hear from a lot of folks is, you know, economy's great, things are going good. You look at the numbers that are there. You talk to state people. Oh, yeah, things are rocking and rolling. And yet we've got situations like this. Is it just a lack of recognition, do you sense?
That's a good question, is whether it's always been present or it's exacerbated because of the current economy.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Marty Quello. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, Murphy's Markets, and Humboldt Termite and Pest Control. Marty, as you look at some of the things that CR is doing and some of the things that you would like to do, one of the curiosities, I guess, for me is why summer school class offerings aren't at the same level as fall and spring. So when you get some of these scenarios where you've got financially challenged students, that it's not 3 years, maybe it's 2 years. Or maybe instead of 2 years, it's 18 months. You know, their costs continue on a day-by-day basis. You know, and to take summer off isn't necessarily going to be an opportunity for them to do anything other than incur more debt.
Yep.
I mean, is there a recognition of that, or expanding night classes or those types of things so that it's not fast tracking, but it's a compressed learning period of time so they can get out with their job skills and become employed sooner and get the positive starting to roll?
So we offer multiple sessions of summer school. We have the June session, the July session, and the June and July session. So we try to stack as many classes in there as possible. What's been interesting historically, though, is we don't get the demand for summer classes. And I'm not sure if that's because people are working during the summer and trying to make extra money, or they just view that traditional time off away from school. If you take advantage of going to school during the summer, you're in a much better track of getting out in a shorter period of time.
And the school's now more flexible towards that being able to occur, which is kind of cool, particularly as we're talking about some of the students that do have tough situations right now.
Right. So for the students that are facing housing insecurity that we're hoping to help with our scholarship fund, we're looking at this as a program to help get them in and out. So let's give them a foothold. At this point, they're camping in the back of the forest. Okay, can we take them into our residence halls for a semester or two, provide them a base to build off of, give them a meal plan so they have regular food, and then help them with job skills, a position on campus, so they build up their resume, get them networked into the community, and then move them out of the residence halls into housing in the community. I think what's exciting about this is when you see the housing situation in Humboldt County, and I've been here since 91, and with the Devil's Playground kind of being blown up in 2008, a few years ago, the situation has gotten so grim that I think it's left most of us in the county kind of feeling like, what can we do to impact this situation? It's so large, and so much of it's caused by the systems in play. Here's a group of
individuals. And we see what we see is one of the populations, but it's not universal.
Exactly. Yeah. This, we interpret that as the homeless population, and it's not. It's made up of all sorts of groups of people. And we felt like, look, we have over 100 students that have self-identified as being homeless on our campus. They have a proven track record of going to classes and being successful in getting their education for a semester or two. Let's help these students. Let's make sure that, they have a roof over their head, they have food, and they can focus on getting their degrees and graduating.
Incentivize the productive.
Right, exactly.
What a concept.
Help those who are already showing they're trying to help themselves.
Now, you had mentioned that next fall, that you're looking at having a pantry for the Hoopa and the Del Norte campuses.
Yes, hopefully sometime next year, having Crescent City and Hoopa in place for their food pantries as well.
You don't have dorms or residence halls or whatever the word is at either of those locations.
No, we do not. No. So we can't put the room and board scholarship in play up there in those locations.
I wonder if there might be an opportunity to kind of meet, I know housing is tough, so if it's not available, it's not available, but to meet somebody halfway.
Well, it's interesting because
if they are a landlord.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, we've hired somebody basically as our housing liaison who works at CR part-time. Justin, great guy. He comes from a background where he was homeless, so he really understands the situation our students are faced with. And so he's working with landlords in trying to identify additional rooms and housing that might not be open on the market per se to the general public. So he's trying to work those pipelines, and that's bearing some success. But we're looking all around the country right now as to what are potential models that we can put in place to establish housing for our students. What we do know is in putting this room and board scholarship in place, we're one of the few institutions in the United States that's even considering doing this right now. So we're starting to get national recognition, and people are curious, how's this model going to work out? And so we're piloting it in the spring, and hopefully we'll have 4 to 8 students that we can work with and really begin to provide them the support so they're successful.
I would imagine that it's a pretty desirable selection. I was trying to come up with a different word, but I think desirable is probably the safest one for those who will be selected. Is there any requirement for GPA?
Oh, yes. They have to meet
those
all
types of things.
Yes.
So there is a standard. Once they get selected, it's still in play.
Yeah, they're having to meet all the guidelines of the residence halls. They have to maintain a 2.0. They have to maintain 12 units. So they're having to live by all the rules that everybody else would live in the residence halls.
And it's one per room?
There's two students per room.
Okay, so you're able
And then
to...
they're in quads. So you have two rooms that are attached, so 4 people.
The dreaded common refrigerator.
Yes, sharing the common ground. But compared to camping outside or in your car, sounds pretty darn good.
Yeah, not a bad draw. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:40.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to L.A. will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like L.A. is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Marty Coelho. Marty, the challenges that you were alluding to with some of the students going to CR, is there, you'd said that there was a national recognition of this too, and that you guys are kind of being seen as a demo or a project model on this one. How's that being received locally in the educational community?
We're just starting to roll this out right now, and we're actually Humboldt State and HCOE, we're all partnering together on these different efforts around homeless. And the Humboldt County Office of Education actually has an equity summit on October 22nd and 23rd. And a couple of those sessions within that summit are going to be based on homeless students in Humboldt County. There's over 1,500 K-12 students that are facing homelessness in Humboldt County. When I heard that number, that's gut-wrenching. And it really explains a lot of the social ills that we see when we have people that are so young that are facing such trauma early in their life, And we're trying to work together with these other institutions to figure out how can we get them the advanced education or career training that they need so that when they get out of high school, they're on a path where they can support themselves and be successful.
Well, 1,500 certainly is a significant number. But if you divide up the number of high school districts, cut it up into 11, it's 11 levels, right? K, et cetera, et cetera. It's like maybe one kid at each level, which to me, not to diminish it, but it says it is manageable, guys. We can do something about this.
We can have an impact in this area.
It's not 1,500 in one tidal wave. It's, okay, in Eureka City Schools, there's one per class level. In South Fork, there's one per class. We can do this. And I think that's part that's
encouraging.
It's
not overwhelming.
No, it's something that can be nibbled. So if somebody wants to get involved, a non-educator, you said the food pantry. I mean, is that an area where donations could be made if folks were inclined? Or
yes. How do you get involved?
So how do you do if you want to? Yeah.
A couple different ways. We have a donation button on the front of the College of the Redwoods website where you can go in and give in all sorts of different ways to support the college, one of which is just to give to support services for our students, which the food pantry is located there, so you can make a financial donation.
So you can get narrowed down to that specific area
right.
if you want.
You can get very granular here. But you can also reach out to the food pantry through the website and contact their director and be able to make gifts in kind as well, which is hugely helpful. We're already starting to get more support as the community realizes what's going on. I think it's very rewarding to help students that are already trying to help themselves.
That's probably the most attractive thing of what you've said so far is that these are those that are demonstrating passion and they're not satisfied. They don't want to become multi-generational, or if they are, they want to break the cycle and get away from government assistance.
Yeah, one of our students, Martha, she moved up here from Southern California. She had filled out her financial aid at her high school with her counselors, but something got messed up in the paperwork and she got up here and financial aid fell through. And her parents who'd moved up here with her were unable to get jobs, so they left. They gave her the money they had saved for her education. That covered a week in a motel. So she had a choice. She could move back to Southern California, live in a one-bedroom apartment with her family, and face the same reality her dad had faced his whole life of working 7 days a week. And she said, no, I can't do that. He doesn't want me to do that. I want to break the cycle. So she's currently in a shelter right now. And these are the types of students we're trying to help. They are trying to get out of their situations, but they need a lifeline. They don't have the social or economic network in place to get them over the hump.
So go to CR's website. That's the first step.
Yes,
and I'm sure there's information numbers there if you want a phone call and talk.
Exactly. And there's a button there for the Redwood Scholarship Fund as well.
Cool. Thanks for coming by.
No, thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
All righty. See everybody tomorrow.